from KQED.
It's Morning Edition on KQED. I'm Brian Watt. On Mondays, the KQED science team regularly takes us somewhere interesting or explains something kind of complicated. And a topic they get to a lot is climate change. Today, we're going to focus on how fast climate change is happening. It's happened before in the history of the Earth. We had to get out of the Ice Age, right? But it's taken thousands of years, not hundreds. KQED science editor Danielle Venton brings us a story that we hope will make it easier to understand why the speed of climate change matters. Take a listen.
So we're at 850 AD at this point.
And then that kind of drone is the...
That's the CO2.
Or the concentration of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
And that kind of plucking sound?
That's the temperature, the sort of annual average temperature, up and down. I'm Chris Chafe, and my title is, I'm director of KARMA.
In this case, KARMA is Stanford's Center for Computer Research, Music, and Acoustics. What Chafe does is make music from data.
What we are doing is a translation of something that's been captured by scientists doing observations.
You can hear CO2 holding pretty steady as we move forward in time, at about 4 years a second. It's now around 1066. The Normans just invaded England. The CO2 data you're hearing come from polar ice cores. These cores hold trapped air bubbles going back thousands of years.
And so the bubbles are preserved. So the bubbles then are taken back, transferred back from Antarctica to New Zealand, back to Grenoble in France.
Inez Fung is a climate scientist at UC Berkeley. In the lab, she says, researchers melt down sections of the ice cores and capture the released air into vials.
So then you analyze the gases that are trapped in the air bubbles.
Which tells us the concentration of carbon dioxide. The year is now 1215. The Magna Carta was just signed. To pin down the date in ice cores, researchers look at layers of dust in the ice from volcanic eruptions.
We know the years of those, and you can track all those very beautifully in the ice core.
Now we're at 1277. Genghis Khan just died. The temperature data you're hearing, that ping-ponging sound, came from growth rings in trees and pollen counts in mud core samples from the bottoms of lakes.
And as you hear in the piece that Chris has composed, there's really not a lot happening for a very long time, and it's kind of soothing.
This is Kate Pennington, a graduate student in resource economics at UC Berkeley.
We have a normal state of the world, and life has evolved relative to that normal state of the world.
Pennington is one of three Cal grad students who brought us the idea of sonifying climate data. Hal Gordon is a colleague in the same program.
In all climate data, you see it in this long chart with time that is way longer than human lifetime, so it's impossible to really experience. But when you sonify it, you actually experience time in a way that you can't when you look at the chart.
Now we're in 1501. Michelangelo is starting his work on the sculpture David. You can hear how stable Earth's cycles for warming and cooling have been since 850. It was similar for millions of years before that. But today, we are hampering Earth's ability to cool itself.
My body temperature is 98.6. If I have a fever of 101, I would worry. If all the doctors tell me that my temperature is going to go up, I would be very worried.
Inez Fung again.
So what we're talking about is balance, okay? That 1 degree or 2 degree fever is an indication that the balance has been disrupted. If I have a temperature of 103, I know other organs are going to be influenced.
If you listen to the CO2 now, you can begin to detect the change. The Industrial Revolution has begun. It's 1760. We've started to burn coal and then petroleum and gas.
And now what we're doing with adding more CO2 to the atmosphere is that you put on a sweater and you put another sweater and you put on another sweater, even though you're getting warm, you're not cooling.
We know this is human-caused because the CO2 from burning fossil fuels is different from CO2 given off by plants. we can detect this shift in the source of atmospheric carbon very precisely in ice core data. Now it's 1876. Nicholas Otto invented the first modern internal combustion engine. Let's listen now up to the present day. And as you listen, notice how the CO2 drives the temperature. World War II. Nixon resigns.
To give the listeners an idea of where it ends.
That's Hal Gordon.
That screeching whine right at the end is above the average.
We were at about 1.6 degrees above average in 2016, according to federal scientists.
The whole concept that we're trying to explain here is not a pleasant one. It's actually a frightening one.
Valerie Vasquez is a graduate student in energy and resources.
So it might be really appropriate that it ends in this kind of like ambulance sound.
It's really a sort of pick your own adventure choice at the end. Like we end on this really high note.
Kate Pennington.
And, you know, we literally don't know what will happen next.
We do, however, have some control over what happens next. You could say that as a society, we have the chance to pick the future that sounds best to us. I'd like to play you one last sound, adjusted to be within our hearing range. This is the faint drop-off of CO2 levels that could be possible at the end of this century if we act aggressively. I'm Danielle Venton, KQED News.
Support for KQED Science is provided by the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation, Hope Lab, and the Dirk and Charlene Kabsonell Foundation.